Lezicher Nishmas Yaakov ben Hachaver Yehuda. In Shir 24, we will begin to give a general overview related to the practical details of chametz and matzah. Let's begin by defining what can become chametz. There are only five kinds of grains that can become chametz, and these are wheat, barley, spelt, rye, and oats. And only after they're cut from the ground and become wet. Now, by tradition, these are the five grains, and even if you will find some arguments about two of these grains today, the vast majority of traditional Jewry hold that these are the five grains, and this is fully accepted by traditional Orthodox Judaism. We stated that it's a problem if the grains become wet, and by wet we mean by water. So we're excluding fruit juice and other liquids, which we'll touch on later. And it does not make any difference if the grains become wet before or after the threshing process, or what form the grain is in at the time that it became wet. So for example, whole grain, or flour, or any other form that the grain might be in. Now, these are the five types of grains, and only these five, if processed properly, can become matzah. And this means that the chimutz process, the fermentation process, needs to be stopped when creating matzah, and we will discuss that later on. Now, when we say chametz, we're not only referring to actual chametz, but we're including mixtures with chametz in them, and on a rabbinic level, what we call chametz nuksha, which is harder, inedible chametz. Now, there are three aspects of chametz that are usser. Chametz is usser behana, or we would say in English, the enjoyment of chametz is usser. Number two is, you're not allowed to own or possess chametz. And number three, we are required to remove chametz from our homes and other locations. So let's begin with the isser of hana. One may not enjoy chametz on Pesach in any manner. Even utensils that have chametz absorbed in them may not be used. Chametz is prohibited on a biblical level from chatzos, which is the seventh hour of the day on Erev Pesach, since from this time on, the Korban Pesach was brought. Now, rabbinically, we're not allowed to eat chametz beginning in the fifth hour, and we could sell it, trade it, or whatever, until the sixth hour. And when the sixth hour comes, everything is usser. Now, it should be noted that these are not 60-minute hours, but they are shazmanios, right? They vary according to the length of the day. So depending on one's location, it might be more than 60 minutes. So in the northern hemisphere, it's spring, and therefore the hours will be longer than 60 minutes. And communities generally put out times until one can eat chametz. Now, if one kept the chametz on Pesach, he is never allowed to get any benefit from it. If he eats an olive's worth of chametz, so he's culpable to receive kares, which is a very severe punishment, which we've discussed, where one's soul is cut off. Now, the author, he translates it as the extinction of one's soul. If one eats a mixture which has less than an olive's worth of chametz, so he transgresses a lav, a Torah prohibition, but he does not receive kares. If chametz becomes mixed with food on Pesach, so it is not batal, and it is aser b'mashehu. And there are two reasons why chametz is not batal. So one is that since it is always permissible, so it's easy for a person to make a mistake, and we call this lo bedili minei. And second, since the punishment is kares, we want to give chametz extra safeguards. According to the absolutely accepted Ashkenaz custom, in order to prevent any sort of confusion with the five grains that are capable of becoming chametz, we do not eat certain legumes, and this custom is called kitnios, such as beans, peas, mustard, rice, among others, even though these cannot become chametz. And what is included in the custom of kitnios may differ by the town or by the area. So just as a quick example, there were certain towns in Europe that included potatoes among kitnios, but that never really spread, and today, as far as I know, everybody eats potatoes. And if one is unsure if an item is kitni or not, you should follow your family's tradition, and if you do not have one, then you speak to a rav or contact a kashrus agency such as the OU. Now, we also stay away from the five grains if they became mixed with other liquids besides water. So, for example, fruit juice or eggs. And as you can see, we treat the possibility of chametz very stringently, and the punishment is very severe. And due to this, it's very important to make sure that all items that come into a person's house on Pesach have a proper hechsher. So let's move on now to the second aspect of the Isser, which is that we're not allowed to own or possess chametz on Pesach, and this is called Bal Yirah and Bal Yimotze. Now, these prohibitions are based on two psukim. One is in Shemos 13:7, which says, Matzosiach el is shivas hayomim, v'lo yira'el lecha chametz, v'lo yira'el lecha se'or b'chol givulecha. And here we see the Torah uses the phrase lo yira'eh, that chametz shall not be seen with you. And the second one is in Shemos 12:19. It says, Shivas yomim se'or lo yimatzei bevateichem. And here the Torah uses the term lo yimatzei, that no leavening agent shall be found in our homes. Now, this halacha tells us that chametz cannot be seen or found in our possession on Pesach. Now, even in a situation where a person is responsible for chametz in an indirect manner, so you may still be violating Bal Yirah and Bal Yimotze, and one should always consult with a rav. Now, kitnios, on the other hand, you are, of course, allowed to keep in your possession over Pesach, since kitnios is not chametz. So finally, let's discuss the obligation to remove chametz from one's possession. The Torah states, in Shemos 12:5, it says, Shivas yomim, matzos tochelu, ach bayom harishon, tashbisu seor mibateichem, which means that on the first day, you shall, to use an exact quote, put away leaven out of your houses. The Torah is informing us here that chametz must be removed from our premises, seemingly on the first day of Pesach. Now, a few psukim later, in 12:19, the Torah states, Shivas yomim, se'or lo yimatze bevateichem, that for 7 days we're not allowed to have leaven. Included in the 7 days is the first day, and this tells us that when the Torah says on the first day, we cannot take this literally, but it actually refers to the day before Pesach, which we call Erev Pesach. And some commentators actually see this in the word of the Pasuk itself, when the Torah uses the word Tashbisu, and they understand this to mean that you shall cause to be missing, or you shall cause to be lacking, and they therefore translate the Pasuk as 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall have put away leaven from your houses. So it's in the past tense that it's been done already. As we already learned, chametz, from the Torah's perspective, is usur on Erev Pesach from Chatzos, which is the seventh hour of the day. And this is the same time when one can bring the Karban Pesach. And the Rabbanon already made chametz completely usur by the sixth hour. Now that we established that chametz must be removed, the question is, how do you accomplish this removal? So from the Torah's perspective, you can either do bittul, which is to renounce your ownership, or you can do bir, which means to destroy your chametz. And midrabanan, we do both, we do bittul and we do bir. Following the 13th of Nisan, at the very beginning of the 14th, after it becomes dark, we search for chametz. There are two reasons as to why we search at night as opposed to during the day. So first of all, people are home during the evening. And second, candlelight, which we use a candle when we search, could reach into dark locations more easily at night than during the day. The search is actually a culmination of all the hard work that was done until this point, of removing every bit of chametz as Pesach approaches. And this strenuous task is usually done by, or certainly overseen by, the Jewish wife. And after the search, we declare all our chametz to be hefker, which means completely ownerless as the dust of the earth. At the end of the fifth hour, on the day of Erev Yom Tov, so we destroy our leftover chametz, and this is usually done by burning it, which is followed by another statement in which we declare all of our chametz to be hefker. If one has chametz, it may be sold and then repurchased after Pesach, and this sale is usually done by an expert in Jewish law, since if one messes up the sale, then that person will be culpable for having chametz on Pesach. And finally, it is forbidden to have matzah on the day before Pesach, although many have the custom not to have matzah already prior to this point, either from Rosh Chodesh or from Purim. And the reason that we cannot have any matzah on Erev Pesach is so we should eat during the Seder with greater appetite and zest and full appreciation of its deeper meaning. And that is an exact quote. So at this point, we will conclude Shir number 24.